Blog Talk Radio.
A good evening. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show.
Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. This is your host, Makua Ray. We have also with us good brother Ruben Yinas. Can you hear me, brother?
Hear me?
Okay, I hear you there. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Moving through some interesting contrasts at these amazing times. So we're kind of exemplifying that just with some of the technologies here right now, but also just with the music. As you heard, we're opening with that beautiful Spanish-English version of Imagine by the one and only John Lennon. powerful energy to bring back at this time, as we're here to celebrate the International Day of Peace, which was yesterday. Want to bring that into scope and focus for people. It's part of the emphasis happening on the planet right now. But also this song by NECA, Heartbeat, right here. This is the other side of that, the energy of peace. It's the contrast. You know, this is the energy of actually being, in many ways, let down, disappointed, you know, taken for granted and taken advantage of. Because, you know, when we talk about peace, we also have to deal with the contrast that comes with the tension that we face individually, but also as a collective.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to use some of this music here to kind of give an energy to some of this contrast that we're all feeling right now. Some tension happening on the planet and within. And so we're entering a new season here for this show, which is, I think, a very important marker. And today is a very special day, being the equinox. So I just want to welcome our listeners who are just tuning into our show for the very first time. And just to say welcome to a new season of Calendar Truth on Now Time Radio. This is a very special show tonight. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah. A lot has happened since our last show. Like, it's quite impressive, the amount of events that have happened since the last solstice, when we did our last show. And from this solstice to this equinox, one season, we are starting season two, and we are starting today the season of the fall in the north and the spring in the south and hemisphere. So it is quite a threshold, for sure, for the fact that we are changing seasons, and for the fact that the earth is changing also, is going through a transformation. So we really want to take these opportunities, these portals, as the perfect spaces in the fabric of time space to put the message out and start this season. This is the electric moon of service, so it is part of our service, planetary service, and especially right now, which all the crisis in many different fronts that everyone is facing. We have seen the news this week of the events in Puerto Rico and Mexico, and probably we are all affected by seeing so many people going through so many hardships, and the earth going through such in a sort of violent transformation, but also a very natural process in within the cycles that we are living. This is part of a bigger stage, and that's where we want to go today, because we are transiting from one evolutionary stage to another, and this is just like a threshold to make that
absolutely
conscious.
That's right. And I'd like to say that I do believe part of the intention for the show is to create a space of greater understanding, or even overstanding, for people and their consciousness and their awareness to the enormity of the transformation and the transitions that are underway. I mean, you touched on it in identifying the weather and identifying places that have been impacted, like Mexico recently with the hurricanes, earthquakes, you know, and several other places where we're finding this happening. And we definitely want to, you know, express our support, energetic support, our spiritual support, our heartfelt support toward people getting the help that they need and getting the healing that they need and the strength to rebuild, because we know this is not an easy time. And so we definitely want to say that as well. With appreciating, as you said, by making the unconscious conscious, we want to help equip people with a new perspective, a new lens into appreciating the enormity of the calamities that we've seen happen, and that we know in many ways are said and foretold to happen at this time. We'll talk a little bit about that as well as we progress in the show. But I just wanted to back up a little bit because you said something. We're in the electric moon of service. And I know some listeners may be new to that terminology, this language, if you will, of the new time. So I wanted to review that for people, that the electric moon is the third month of a 13-month year. For people who we've been able to share a lot of this information with inside the community of Nexus, where we've presented at the very beginning of this 13-month year. In fact, we opened the year this year with the opportunity to be there in service and share this insight and provide a new lens, a new lens through which to actually navigate the challenges that we're all facing. Because as you said, I mean, these challenges are bearing down on all of us in a variety of ways. And so the idea here is if we do something hugely transformational, or in fact, better said, we have to do something hugely transformational right now to meet the challenge of the times. And that's what we want to really open a vista into, a view into with this platform. Because the show is called Calendar Truth. And I think it's important that we really emphasize the word truth tonight. And I think tonight's show is especially important because it's giving us a chance as we're coming back. We haven't done a broadcast in 3 months. Essentially, we haven't done one since the turn of the last season. So here we are with this chance to really refocus a lens on, again, I think the word truth as it relates to why this information is important and why we need to shift gears in terms of our comprehension collectively. You know, there's a lot happening on the world stage that we can identify, you know, from, you know, UN General Assembly week this past several days in New York with the world leaders gathering and you know, the display of Mr. T, as we like to call him. You know, in terms of the energy, obviously, that he's bringing into this equation, something very interesting, and it's obviously mixing it up quite a bit. Now, in this energy, though, some people are experiencing new and greater success in this atmosphere, believe it or not. Many people. In fact, the stock markets are doing great with this presidency. And that's something interesting to point out because there are many people who are finding benefit with the approach being taken by the commander-in-chief, as it were. However, at the same time, we have to ask ourselves, on a time like Peace Week, International Day of Peace, the Jewish New Year, in fact, Rosh Hashanah, Shana Tova to our Jewish friends and family out here, you know, honor and respect to everybody's traditions. And in a time that is to be about reflection and renewal and forgiveness and transformation, we have to challenge the rhetoric that we are hearing come from those who are said to represent the people of the so-called United States, for example. I think that we have to begin to really peel back the layers that we've grown accustomed to, many that we just haven't even been aware have been covering our eyes. But we want to get into some of that necessary transformation in this platform and through the vehicle of a new calendar and what that actually implies. By actually changing your time, you change your mind. By changing your mind, you actually have the ability to change the world in a way like we've never had before under these circumstances. So, just glad to have you on the journey, my brother.
Yeah, it is important to acknowledge the crisis and to be very aware of all the factors involved, like the weather and the geopolitical tensions that are happening. So this is certainly what we have been emphasizing since the season one. The turn of a choice point. It's really important to to see these moments in history as choice points to make a more intelligent choice, and one choice that is it doesn't have to be tied to political agendas or to national agendas or to religious agendas, but that is based more in harmony, and that brings back the concept of the equinox that we are experiencing today, perfect light and day, and that in itself is the earth expressing her balance in the midst of the imbalance that is happening. So when we understand that these moments during the year, when we shift gears from one season to the other, and we think how this was for our ancestors also like a moment of transformation and to enter into a new energy and a new dynamic and a new type of weather, that we do it that consciously and that we acknowledge that the crisis is coming to a climax that may sooner than we think, and that climax it can be a really transformative revolution. People are affected by what they are seeing today in the news, and I personally, my family is affected. Members of the GCCA, like Mauricio, have been kind of been witnessing the events in Mexico. So we are all feeling this very close, this transformation very close, because as the fabric of space on Earth is shifting with all these weather patterns, the fabric of time is also, in a way, reassembling itself, reconfiguring. We talk about these shifts in the energy, also like changing to a new time space. So it's a new season, it's a new time space. And if we start to make these analogies between time and space, and how important it is to have a regular standard unit of measure for space, and that we need the same for the standard unit of measure for time, so we can bring that harmony that is present in geometry and in symmetry and in architecture, in the world of forms, that also can be present in the way that we organize our activities, and that's
absolutely
a very, very important point.
Absolutely, and I think you're right on, and that in fact really introduces us to the direction of this new season for the show. One second. In the sense that, you know, we're intent on focusing and emphasizing the envisioning and development of a new operational system. You mentioned the equal measure in geometry, and then how that affects us as beings of time related to the mind. And so I'm excited for what we're going to be giving energy and emphasis to over the next several months in this new season on the show. And I think under the circumstance of what we're finding, this sort of climax moment, you mentioned this, things are climaxing. We're in a climax moment right now, and we see this happening even as we speak. We know that there's energy in the Atlantic Ocean being churned up with natural occurrences in the weather. We don't know what the outcome of this is going to be, even into this next few days. So I think it's important that we really use the opportunity with all this catalytic energy to allow ourselves to trust ourselves. And by this I mean in the way that animals trust and due to their instincts, they follow their instincts as beings involved in the natural world. When these changes are upon us, we similarly have that ability. However, we also have had the ability stunted And there have been impediments and blockages put up that we don't necessarily know enough about. And so because we're kind of blindsided by these things, and we've kind of accepted these things as normalcy, we are not attuned to understanding why the velocity of these calamities is reaching such a fever pitch. We don't really consciously understand, how did we get here? What is going on? Has God forsaken us? And these concepts come to mind because that's kind of the limit of the bandwidth that we've allowed ourselves mentally and energetically to really entertain. And so one of the things that happens as a person begins to actually synchronize their mind back into nature's cycles, into that frequency, is that they begin to see this convergence of these worlds happen to where things that they didn't have the ability to see before now become very real and very apparent. But I think it's important to be said, we have to start with the fact, and you mentioned this at the top of the show, we want to speak to some of the things that aren't necessarily come, but have to at least be considered. Because we need to come to terms with the fact that we have not really, for most of our lives, operated out of our own thoughts alone. Meaning we've been subject to a variety of influences in terms of consciousness as individuals, as families, as communities, as nations, as the human family. And we see a lot of this repeating and playing itself out again in new and different ways. I mean, as we said, we've seen a lot of things happen over the past few months. What to speak of, you know, the eruption of volatility, emotional discontent based in the idea of race as the identifier, you know, the racism experienced in Charlottesville in that situation and what that resulted in. And then the conversations and the eruption of further perspectives along those lines coming up, you know, these things. And at the same time, we have to also stretch enough to appreciate that the construct of race as a thing was something that has been intentionally perpetuated to keep us from greater truths. So it becomes something that can be exploited to serve as a distraction from while other things are happening. And I think it's important that that be said just so that people can feel the permission to appreciate and trust themselves, you know, because we've all been subjected to taking that sort of crowd mentality in one way or another because of the conditionings in society, the way that we use technology, how we're all sort of receiving these memes and themes that aren't necessarily original thought, aren't even necessarily accurate thought. And unless we really know the source of these thoughts, we take a great risk at you know, wearing a badge of that being our thinking. You know, so it's kind of interesting, and I think that's a huge part of the initiation humanity is experiencing right now with these challenges, is we're experiencing an initiation to return to right relationship with ourselves, where we trust our instincts, like nature, like animals in nature, trust the instinct enough to lead you out of harm's way and to take you to a higher elevation, if you will, so as to avoid certain things, certain calamities that can befall us if we're not really able to pay that close attention or really hear in that way. I want to go ahead into this, if I can, actually, and play this amazing clip you presented to me, and that came up as a memory on your Facebook page. And you said, oh, this is really important and appropriate to share. I'm going to go ahead and play the clip, and we can talk about it more after people have a chance to hear it. But we gave it a little title, we thought, and maybe they'll appreciate it after hearing it. But we just took the liberty to give it a title called It's All Theater. This comes from an episode, a video on YouTube called The War on Reality by the Health Ranger. People can check that out. Want to make sure to give a credit where it's due. But he goes into a conversation that essentially we sum up as it's all. So we appreciate you listening, and thank you for tuning in to Calendar Truth on Nowtime Radio.
There is a war on reality, and the battlefield for that war your consciousness. Almost everything that you see in society or from official sources is fabricated or rigged. It's fictional. It's all designed to weave this artificial tapestry of beliefs and ideas and so-called truths in your mind that actually are not true and that are not based on reality. And the point of this is to create a system of control, a prison for your mind that gives you the illusion of thinking that you have freedom of thought or freedom of choice or that you live in a democracy, for example, when in reality this entire system around you is all fabricated to force you into making certain decisions or taking certain actions or avoiding certain actions, all of which further the desires and the consolidation of power of the totalitarian regime in power. All so-called official stories or official narratives are really mythologies just restated in the language of truth, but rooted in distortions of truth. And yet they are accepted by people as reality because the fuel behind the myth is peer pressure or consensus or social acceptance. So whether we're talking about history or medicine, flu vaccines, for example, or science, GMOs, or the role of government, the role of money, economics, central banking, quantitative easing. All of these are based on cultural myths that are provably false. If you're wondering how all of this happens, it begins with the idea that we are a disconnected society. Almost nothing that you think you know, your beliefs, your truths, actually comes from first-hand experience. Almost everything that you think is true was actually told to you by someone else. When you watch the news, let's say on CNN, for example, you think that they are telling you something that's true, and then that idea of truth transfers into your belief system, and now you believe that what they said was true because they reported it, but you never saw it. You weren't there. And so you're depending on third parties to tell you what's real in the world. But what happens when those third parties are deliberately lying to you or withholding information or falsifying or distorting information? And that's actually the system in which we live. The media, government, institutions, academia, every sector of society is engaged in an elaborate scheme of lies and distortions. And yet they have the ambiance of apparent authority, and so they are believable by most people. And it is these institutions, media, academia, government, that create this fictional construct in your mind, which we could call the matrix. And you are living in this matrix psychologically, and you think it's real. You think that all of these things that are being reported on CNN are actually happening in the world the way that they're being depicted on CNN. What you don't realize is that it's all theater.
Said, it's all theater. You know, I think it's important that we share that type of perspective because we need to delve deeper into the conundrum in which we find ourselves, because it certainly does not appear that it's becoming any easier. You know. So with that in mind, we appreciate that perspective for that reason. Because the fact is, we have long ago been swindled out of our power to reason for ourselves. And along with that has gone our sovereignty to stand in the capacity and the reality of our natural rights.
Yeah.
You know, as human beings. And so part of the process, I think, here is really going and gathering, reclaiming these parts of ourselves that have been dispersed as of quite some time. You know, and I think one of the reasons we actually are so focused on the eventual reality of calendar reform, because I do assert that calendar reform will happen. It has almost happened nearly 100 years ago for several of the same reasons that we still find ourselves stuck in that cycle of attrition, you know. So as we're actually now beginning to evolve and allow, and as I said, give ourselves the permission to express new solutions, this becomes a very exciting time as well as what appears to be a very greatly devastating time and challenging time, you know. But I think part of the emphasis here is actually freedom and liberation.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and when we talk about time as a construct and the way that we've been colonized, essentially, in terms of our minds becoming sort of coordinated and organized based on these calendrical systems related to tax, related to finance, and the purposes thereof. You know, we became disconnected, as the speaker was saying. We became disconnected. In many ways, we were disconnected from our relationship with nature in a way that wasn't a commodity, but it was a way of life, you know. So these are some of the things. These are some of the things in the corners of our history, of our experience as humanity, you know, that brings us to that choice point that you mentioned as well. So we have great, you know, great challenges ahead of us, and yet we also have choice, which is very, very important to remember.
Yes, and commenting on also and complementing what you just observed, he made in a short span of 3 minutes and 33 seconds, very important observations in terms of how we have been programmed into a set of beliefs, and these set of beliefs basically they run our, and how this video is, I think, is one year old or more, because as you mentioned, it came as a synchronicity on my Facebook feed today, as posted 1 year ago. And when I read it, I noticed that that we are at that point in which we are experiencing a war on consciousness, like he observes at the beginning. And this war on consciousness is based on belief systems, and since there are so many narratives and points of view now, people are confused, and probably that's what creates a lot of the unconscious noise, or this field of the unconscious of not being come to terms with the fact that on International Day of Peace, we are hearing rumors of wars and threats at the UN. So it is hard to reconcile those opposites. And all these belief systems are right now in conflict, because the operational system, which is the one that in a way coordinates the entire structure of civilization, including all the festivities and all the calendars, like you mentioned today, is a very important day in the Jewish calendar, and all these different calendars are now kind of coming to terms and coming together to a point in which we know that the next step would be just to harmonize all of these calendars into a harmonic standard that is just practical, it's harmonic, it's a different choice. We can focus ourselves in going more and more deeper into this harmony, or we can focus ourselves in find the harmony between the differences.
Yes.
But we have not made conscious.
Yes.
We have not made that
and
conscious.
And I would argue that it is becoming more conscious, especially as we track the emerging movements of indigenous people, particularly young people, for example, with the phenomena with Standing Rock of the past year and the energy there and what that has ignited and reignited and reconnected, kindled within so many relations around the planet that, you know, even in the circuitry at Nexus, just the blessing of having that energy intersected there with the community, with the work of Christina and the working group on equal justice, you know, just these presences, these pockets, these spaces and people, you know, who are actually out here finding ways to continue to bring these things to consciousness, as you're saying, because it's been we've been unconscious of the history of the relationship here between colonizers and original inhabitants and what that's led to now. But it's no wonder that the resurgent movement toward a more harmonic, peaceful, regenerative culture is coming from young people who are actually protecting water and bringing our attention back to the most essential truths, you know, these things. So in that, we also find the guideposts for the way forward, which all really moves us back into right relationship with nature, with the natural world, not as a resource, but as the source of life. As Chief Arbol Looking Horse states, you know, so I think as we are seeing this disintegration of this world of illusion and domination that's been basically profoundly present for centuries, and yet we look at the fact that that particular vibration or that kind of relationship with reality is dysfunctional. It does not truly enhance or support people to have a better, greater quality of life and to be more regenerative in our relationships and in our business and our commerce and our commitments and agreements. You know, we want to model nature as the teacher, you know, because nature is, you know, and those people who are stewards of nature, I think, again, there's so much to really glean from and emphasize, you know, and you know, just continue to hopefully provide more support for in a myriad of ways in this process. And it's important we have to understand it is a process also. As there are events happening and occurrences that we're having to respond to, the processes of healing and restoration and strengthening and resilience and all of this community building across the world is a process. You know, and it can take lifetimes. You know, but nevertheless, you know, this is, you know, why we provide this platform to hopefully inspire further action, further conversation, further connection along these lines in ways that is truly supportive. So.
Yes. This is so important what you mentioned about modeling nature, because nature has an operational system, and it's a whole system. There is no we were learning during the Nexus Summit a little bit more about regenerative culture, and the concept of regenerative culture includes no waste, and nature has no waste. So we are part of nature, and we have to come to a point that we can model that system that creates no waste. It sounds like a very difficult point to reach, but we are basically wired to operate with those harmonics of 13 and 28. Our body and our hands are supplied by those numbers. So the operational system is already our physical body. That's our operational system, and we just need to go back to that, remember that, or make it conscious so that we can pass from this transformation of what Jose Arguelles called the biosphere, noosphere transition. This is a stage of evolution in which we, as a species, we move forward by making more intelligent choices. And more intelligent choices would be to measure our activities by a harmonic standard, by harmony and not by irregularity. That probably will have an impact that people have not been able to really scale, but when you think about resonance and the concepts that we are all becoming more and more familiar today with the new discoveries of or rediscoveries of science, is that we can come to a point of evolution that we don't create waste. We actually probably we should envision becoming that as a species instead of looking for Mars to colonize. But how we can sustain this planet?
Glad you said that.
Yes.
That's right. We have a caller who's joining us right now. I want to introduce Bilal to the conversation. He just called in, so we want to welcome him to the circle here.
Yeah,
how's it going?
Greetings. Everything's well. Yep.
All right.
I just wanted to greet you all and say I appreciate the build you all are having and the conversation, and you know it's so needed in these times. You know, these key topics. Mm. And just want to send out the appreciation, definitely.
Mm.
And
good to know folks are listening. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
definitely.
Yeah.
And I think I just wanted to add that the importance of, like, the evolution of spirituality moving beyond, like, an individual liberation or individual samadhi to a group movement, to a group mind, and to action, to, you know, moving it into everyday action, moving that meditation into what can be done as a collective in harmonic resonance, you know, together,
mm-hmm.
working together, so that type of thing as well. So,
crystal seed year, collaboration, cooperation. That's right. Yeah, give thanks for the bill. Wonderful.
Thank you so much for your appreciation. Yeah, very, very felt.
Okay, thank
sure,
you.
And
you mentioned a very important concept, which is the group mind, and we were going there when you called up. We were going to speak about this transformation from Jose Arguelles put it that we are, the Earth is a sphere involving other spheres, and the outer layer, which is the biosphere, the sphere of life. has been affected tremendously by the development of technology, and that's why we are in this point in which the artificial frequencies or the artificial technologies are going to give place to mental technologies and to other type of concepts and ideas that will foster a different avenue for evolution that is not based in technology, in artificial technology. So the technosphere is like a cocoon of transformation that is allowing. But Vladimir Vernadsky, who was one of the persons who coined the term noosphere, coined the name the human race as a force of geocombustion of the planet. We are creating technology that is creating more shifts and more evolutionary transformations that are directed towards an artificial development of evolution or the path of evolution. While we tap into this universal mind, and here is probably a good point to bring into the conversation, the concept of the nosia at the sphere of the mind, of the group mind, and we are all like neurons of this thinking, this planetary brain. And in the same way that we are connected on the internet and on radio by listening this show live, we are also telepathically connected. Like we are sharing this field of information that is based on harmony, and because we are able to perceive reality through those different filters, the Gregorian or artificial technological oriented filter, and see how things are evolving or devolving for many people, we can see how at the same time things are evolving because we are going through this transformation, supported by the wisdom of the elders who have kept actually these frequencies and these harmonies for years. So we are connecting the past and the future in the now with this call and with this show, and it's great to listen on the first show of the second season a listener, because sometimes we make the shows and we don't know if someone is listening or no, or if this is for the future, but now it was a very very important fact that you connected to this conversation, and that's how we find new solutions for the challenges that we are experiencing. We can start to harmonize. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I was gonna mention too that also brought to mind how when I hear about like the aliens and stuff, like they say that they communicate telepathically, and supposedly their technology is so far ahead of ours, you know. So that shows an evolution of technology, or you know, I don't know if to call it that, but you know, that's that next level, that telepathy. It's powerful.
Yeah.
So, yes,
those are concepts that we have been strangled or separated from by technology. The more technology develops or advances, the less telepathic abilities we have. We were having a conversation last week with one very good friend, and we were noticing that we don't remember most of the phones of our friends, because now the phone is supposed to hold that memory for us. But we used to do that when before technology was so, we were so codependent of technology. So this is certainly the threshold that José Argüelles foresaw as the shift from the path of technology to the path beyond technology, and how can we focus on finding these regenerative technologies that are based in modeling nature, instead of trying to go with advanced rocket science to Mars to nuke it, to make it habitable. It doesn't make any sense, and that's probably part of the confusion, this exacerbation of technologies creating a chaotic telepathic field on Earth that is creating unconsciously, we don't know how much humanity's psychological, psychic field is influencing right now the weather. We don't know to what extent. But the more we tune into nature, the more we will understand that these events are responding, or there is a correlation between the emotional, overall emotional state of consciousness on the planet and the state of consciousness of the Earth, because it's, we are cells of the Earth. We are neurons or the individual cells that are experiencing this moment of realizing that we are these cells instead of individuals or separated.
Wow.
Powerful.
That's right. That's right. Right. Wow, that's a powerful reflection. Powerful reflection. I want to slide into some music vibration from the artist known as Nako Bear. Found this great song. It's a new song, it seems, called Great Spirit. I think it's perfect for the conversation, perfect for the moment. And just sending a shout out to all of our family and our relations on this equinox energy and this time. And just, you know, wishing well and you know, more strength, more guidance, you know, more joy, more presence. More connectedness. All right. Thank you for tuning in to Calendar Truth. We'll be right back with you.
So which wolf will you feed? One makes you strong, one makes you weak. And those who know and those who seek. Amidst the chaos, find your peace. Yeah. I know which wolf I'll feed. I know which wolf I'll feed. Flowing river, flood the banks, the rocks that bind her, carry, I'll carry. Great, great spirit, oh, I'll great, great spirit, oh, I'll great spirit for my brothers. Let me be a mountain under which he climbs to discover his process. Now that's progress. Great spirit, all that hindered, tie reminders to my fingers. I must speak with you more often. Great, great spirit. Oh, great. Reform my relations, give them strength to face racism in every single situation. Easy now, won't speak loud. Great spirit, take me instead. Guide me down the road of red and kashala. I am saved, praying.
bringing our power to the people, your reflection of us. Some of your people can't hear it, the cries of the earth. Some of your people can't feel it, the way that it hurts, and it hurts to praise the spirit. Oh, and it moves the great spirit. Interconnected in the wreckage of a paradigm on its way out. Its way out. Speaking of spiritual, lyrical testimonies, a spirit of the resist, weaving about false prophecies. Spirit directed and selective with the message I bring. While the ship slowly sinks, I've been directed and seeing. I'm like a wrecking ball, breaking down the walls of the past. I'm in a bliss, living a bliss with the last of my cash. You're gonna be justified with how you treated the land.
Center, galactic source, which is everything, which is everywhere at once, may everything be known as the light of mutual love. Ayum hunab ku, evam maya emaho. Ayum hunab ku, evam maya emaho. Ayum hunab ku, evam maya emaho. Seven galactic directions. It's important that we recognize when we talk about something like 2012, the tipping point, that we're actually talking about a spiritual dimension of reality, that we live in the material plane for the most part with our physical bodies, our third dimensional instrumentation to navigate us through this sometimes very dense physical plane. But at the same time, we are spiritual beings as well, and that we live equally in a spiritual dimension, though often we may be unconscious of it. Ayum hunab ku. Hunab ku is the Mayan term for the what we might call the Supreme One, the One God. Hunab ku literally means the one giver of movement and measure. Everything we experience is a process of movement. Even as we sit, we are moving 19 miles a second on this planet as it goes in its orbit. and measure. Everything has its quality of form, its dimension of form. One giver of movement and measure. Movement is time, and measure is space. That we move through time. We say we talk about time, spaceship Earth, but we also talk about timeship Earth, that we are not just moving in space, but we are evolving in time. We are a part of a larger plan of cosmic evolution that evolves in time. So yes, you can plot the orbit of our planet in a matrix of space, but we are also moving as a trajectory in time, an evolving celestial body moving in a trajectory of time. Time and space. But before there is time and space, there are two other dimensions. There is the dimension of number and the dimension of mind. First, there is mind. The mind is the substratum of the universe. Everything is evolved and springs forth from mind. The great universal mind, the great reflective mind of the Supreme One, of the Creator, Hunabku. From mind, when mind begins to move out of its incredibly immense vastness of infinite eternity, when it begins to have a flicker, it moves as number. It is said, all is number, God is a number, God is an all. Number is what is created as the frequency matrices that allow time and space to come into dimension. We don't know space without measurement. That's what we say, the four quadrants of space. That's a number. We know that. The four corners of space, or the eight winds, including the directions between the four points. We need number to understand that. So the four quadrants of space, we need number to understand time, the passage of time. How many moons ago was that? Oh, that was three moons, when the moon became full three times, and then we were here. Number is what allows us to distinguish space and time. Mind is the originator. There is a universe of mind totally apart from this physical universe that we live in. And there is a dimension of number that exists independent, yet interactive with the universe of time and space. This universe of number is the universe also of telepathic communication. Telepathic communication becomes embedded in the matrices of space and time, and when we come to recognition of different things, we have ahas, and that's because we have connected. There is mind, there is number, there is space, the four quadrants of space, the nine dimensions of time. The four dimensions of time are the external four external dimensions of time, which we know as the four seasons, or the four ages, the four yugas, the wax, the four stages of the waxing and the waning of the moon. Those are the four external time dimensions. Then there are the radial time dimensions, the parallel universe time dimensions, the alternative universe time dimensions, where we have paranormal activation, and we have deja vus and subliminal suggestions coming from other world systems. And we have the two vertical time dimensions, which are where the different, if you wish to call it, commands of creation flow through the two vertical dimensions. Parallel radial dimensions are the fifth and the sixth time dimensions, and the vertical are the seventh and the eighth. And then there's a central time dimension, the ninth. Everybody sits on a plane and sees the guy in front of you doing Sudoku. Look at that. Sudoku is based on the matrix of the nine time dimensions. It's a very primitive form of beginning to learn about the dimension of number. It's an advance over crossword puzzles because it's just number. And you got all these, and it's nine numbers. It's the nine. The nine is the number of the heart. It's the universal solvent number. And so you see Sudoku. It's based on that same matrix of the nine time dimensions. And then there's the fifth of these dimensions: mind, number, space, time. And then the fifth is the dimension of synchronicity, or the synchronic order. The synchronicity or the synchronic order is when in self-reflective consciousness or intelligence puts together what's happening simultaneously in the dimensions of mind, number, space, and time. That you have, and then the mind puts something together at a particular moment, which is a conjunction of a time and a space matrix, a number, reflective mind, and you have, aha, it's 11:11. You look at the digital, that's what you notice, there's always a number. Wow, look at that license plate, YAX144. That's my number. People have numbers, so you see, these are. And when we're talking about synchronicity, we're just talking about the tip of the iceberg. Synchronicity is the dimension of mind that occurs when you're liberated from all of your material attachments. When you're liberated from living solely in the physical plane, when you're liberated from being a slave of money and all these other kinds of things, then you move into the dimension of synchronicity. Ayum Hunabku, one giver of movement and measure.
Presentation from José Arguelles at the Prophets Conference in 2010. And, you know, I mean, it's powerful to bring that message back now, because it's as relevant now as it ever was. And yes, that is exactly what we're facing at this time of transformation, you know, is this recollection of these various dimensions into one, you know, in our embodiment, in our awareness, individually and as the greater whole. So, yeah, I think it's that was remarkable. There's so many things to be said about what was shared, and I think that bears, you know, re-listening several times, because you know, he's saying a whole lot, quite a lot.
Yeah, he's reframing our minds in the way we used to think about time. What time is, and what because we have been already speaking about this artificial belief system that is based in this calendar, that is, it's a matrix of an artificial matrix, and what he was describing is another set of matrices that are harmonic and that can be connected through these experiences of synchronicity and it's
that's right.
I want to highlight the fact that he, even for us, finding the clip today was a synchronicity, because he mentioned as an example that was 3 months ago, and today we are on the third day of the third moon of the year, entering the third season of the year, which is the fall for the Northern Hemisphere. And we are starting in the week 9, which is 3 times 3. And the tomorrow we are closing a window of 33 days since the eclipse, which is another moment of natural perfection, like the equinox. We had the balance of dark and light today on Earth, and it was 33 days ago that we have the balance of light and dark on heaven. So
that's right.
What he was observing is that we can have these ahas and realize the beauty of it, the harmony behind it, the perfection of these alignments of number 3, and have like a whole different experience of reality, because we are observing a different set of numbers and patterns that are always informing us, and these numbers and patterns operate through this matrix that we call the reality, but that is guided by all these principles that are not when you peel the layers, they hold many lies, or compartmentalized lies that are for most people difficult to imagine, because the calendar aspect is very deep, and it's not easy to absorb, because it's a delicate subject when you think about the ramifications in terms of what it's doing to our minds and to our bodies biologically, that we are not following a harmonic biorhythm, that the women around the earth are unable to experience that difference of being attuned to a cycle of 28 days and see the effects on their bodies and see what natural timing and harmony could be. So we are able to today to point to that is a very important day because of these correlations of numbers 3, that we are certainly entering a very important recalibration event that is announced by this equinox and tomorrow by a planetary alignment that it's correlated with biblical prophecy. So the web is full of stories of from the rapture to Nibiru to the many different biblical prophecies are being considered to understand that this is a very auspicious event, that it has not happened in many years, in about 2,000 years, and that is announcing a part of the scripture. And we are here to pay attention to these alignments of the time and the space, actually, to see how important events like these planetary alignments under a difficult, a different lens can be perceived as very, very well aligned because of these particular alignments of numbers 3.
Yeah.
So it is certainly a moment to be very awake and very conscious that there are major shifts in the energies, and it has to do with the shift on the seasons, and that it has to do with planetary alignments that, because of their rarity, are signaling a moment or an intersection of these matrices of the number, mind, number, time, space, all these dimensions.
Yes.
Different matrices or harmonics, and becoming one integrated experience as synchronicity. We are having, after 33 days of another important celestial event, we are having the equinox, the planetary alignment.
As we speak.
As we speak.
Right now.
As we speak right now.
Yeah.
And this is our first show. And it was not made conscious until yesterday or this morning.
Right.
Really.
That's true. Hmm. And I think it's interesting that the last series wrapped right at the summer solstice. So we essentially took the summer to go to Nexus in New York and have a chance to really present again with Daniel Pinchbeck and with Katie Mejia, wonderful friends and beautiful minds and ideas and thoughts. And so it was a powerful conversation with a full room of people who had a chance to ask questions and interact. And, you know, we're looking forward to more. So there are some things coming up in the near future, and we'll be happy to share more of that in some of the upcoming episodes of Calendar Truth. Just to keep everybody, you know, in the loop with what's underway, because we're working on our effort to roll out this campaign for the referendum in the year 2020. So the Calendar Referendum Initiative is something that, as of Indigenous Peoples Day this year, which actually synchronizes to the birthday of Nicholas Roerich
and
John Lennon, you know, we'll be celebrating 1 year since the launch of that effort. We've just recently celebrated the official beginning, essentially, of the Global Council for Calendar Awareness. So we're 1 year in. I mean, it's been very intense. I mean, for everybody in every way, I'm sure. And yet we do recognize the continuity and what's required, and, you know, we will navigate this accordingly. And we continue to look forward to doing this broadcast as a way to connect with listeners like Bilal. Definitely appreciate Bilal calling in tonight, checking in with us and offering that wisdom about, you know, not about individuated evolution, but really collective, collaborative, communal, and community-minded, which is actually cosmically minded. It's also environmentally minded. It's very naturally minded to think in terms of collaboration and cooperation. And so it's perfect that this year is the year of the you know, the crystal seed energy. So it's a perfect time for this cooperative force and energy to really get targeted and continue to help support the awareness raising, you know, targeted in that awareness, and just bring us to greater consciousness as it relates to the choices before us. And with that said, I want to also acknowledge that with the International Day of Peace, there were several events happening around the world for that observance yesterday. And this is our connection to that celebration. And we were doing some outreach, obviously, online, just kind of sharing some information and insight into the work of the artist Nicholas Roerich, whom we certainly see a very deep connection to in terms of the work that he has done and left as his legacy as an artist, as an intellectual, as a scientist, and many other things. But leaving really in a way a focal point that clearly and very simply articulates a very broader purpose that really, really is a broader purpose for the human family. And in light of that, just recognizing that banner of peace on the International Day of Peace and just helping bring his work and importance back to the consciousness of people. Some people would be familiar with his work. You know, we in fact had a woman comment about that to us. which was beautiful, just to understand that there's actually a connection there and that people are aware of his important work. But for those who aren't, I definitely want to encourage people to look into Nicholas Roerich's work. I wish we had more time tonight to really delve into it. I think it would be a disservice to try to just open that up right now, because we wouldn't be able to really do it enough service relative to the vastness of his contribution and that of his wife as well.
Exactly.
So I wanted to definitely just at least, speak that into the field, because it's important and it definitely relates to where we find ourselves now as we look at the purpose of something like the Banner of Peace, as we are in this effort to truly establish a new harmonic standard for the human family, for humanity, that is good on the personal and inner and spiritual platform, but also has its benefit, incredible benefit, relative to ventures and business and things of this nature. And we'll get more into these benefits in the shows ahead as we really make conscious this operational system that we are aware of in relationship to its natural geometric representation, and that representation of number as well. All that we heard Jose Arguez speak to tonight, I think, is so on point, and I'm excited because I feel like it really gives shape and definition for our next steps relative to this broadcast and how we can elaborate on what we did share tonight, just in terms of really raising awareness and helping encourage people to trust themselves. Because I obviously things are amiss. Things are unbelievably ridiculous when we just look through the lens of the third dimension and the menagerie and the theater that we see out here in the world. And yet rest assured that when we actually begin to reclaim the perception and the ability to comprehend the purpose of number as it relates to nature, number as it relates to nature and as nature relates to us, then we really begin to step back into our own natural cycle, our own natural sovereignty, our own natural patterns, the natural regenerative energy that we came here to begin with, here with. We came in that way. That's just really how nature is. So synchronizing back into that frequency is really the critical choice at this choice point now. And for that, I want to really encourage people out here to visit the website, 13months28days.info. We didn't go a lot into the calendar tonight. We did want to really emphasize some of the climate of consciousness that we're facing right now. We wanted to get into some of that and also really acknowledge the fantastic efforts of groups like URI, United Religions Initiative, and its many CCs, or cooperation circles, that observe and hold the energy for International Day of Peace, as well as the Nexus community, with whom we've had the privilege to get to know and to be part of, and find new ways to share this information with people to appreciate the opportunity presented by something like calendar reform, and the reason why it was something that was initiated nearly 100 years ago, and the reasons why it wasn't allowed to happen at that time. But it was not to demerit the purpose of it or the merit of that idea, because that idea has not gone anywhere. It's actually here now. And so this is the purpose of our platform, is to really, again, make that conscious in the minds of people now, so that as we are in this evolutionary track, we realize that part of the evolution of ourselves in relationship to this is, how do we actually experience time? How does that impact our mind and therefore our relationship with nature? And what purpose does the calendar serve in facilitating that relationship? And if the calendar that you use is a disservice and does not facilitate that relationship, well, that's something you really want to examine. And that's why we are doing what we do, is because we definitely recognize that there's a frequency to nature's timing, and that for us to return ourselves to synchronicity is to adopt a 13-month calendar as a tool that helps facilitate and basically retrain the brain which does connect in relationship with the earth, which also connects and has its implications in telepathy in our relationship to nature and being attuned to know when to be where we should be and when to be there and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just those
natural recognitions.
And memory. What to speak of memory? That's another that's another level. So all of these things, though, are served by considering this. And really, as we're all experiencing the consideration together, it's not like we're far ahead on something or not. We're really here in service to make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that this is a very important subject and for which there is a clear solution, an untried solution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I want to also compliment that your observations were totally on point with the fact that this window of that we were mentioning of these events that we are finishing the 3 days of Rosh Hashanah and we have Peace Weekend because the entire weekend have been like you were saying before, baptized as a series of important events from other communities who are trying to find ways online to come together and find a different solution. And meditation is for sure a very important layer of restructuring our minds to natural to the natural mind, to the state of that is not influenced by the disharmony of the calendar, to this perfection. There's a field of frequencies that are harmonic in nature, not disharmonic. So if we tune into those frequencies, that's what brings back the harmony into our internal experience and our external experience of the world. And we were speaking how this week everyone was really astonished at how the earthquake in Mexico hit exactly 32 years to the date of the other devastating earthquake, and this is part of this reconfiguration of these events in time that are sending ripples, and we can perceive these harmonics in this in that event also, that we are living the year of the crystal seed, which is coded by the number 64, and this event happened exactly 32 years ago, which is the half of that. And we know that this is the code of life. So there is a set of correlations that can be established to find the message behind these events that are now presenting with so much power in our field of consciousness, in our realities, and how to deal with that in a way that we can go into a higher perception and be observers instead of not understanding, being confused and in anxiety because we don't understand what is happening. So the coherence is very important. Keep a field of coherence.
Absolutely. I want to invite people to visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/calendartruth. And also, again, 13months28days.info is the website. Visit there. And stay tuned. We'll be back here on Now Time Radio in the days ahead, giving thanks to all of you and for all you do. One love. And Lakesh.